If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What it is, what's up, and welcome everyone to Faces and Feels, working title, Anything Goes. That's right. Going to do something a little bit different today. I'm hanging out with my homie, the one and only Alex Castillo from Vinyls and Violence. So the one and only Alex Castillo from Vinyls and Violence. What is up, my dude?
Going on.
Yeah, exactly. You're ready to talk some shit because we just wanted to, me and this man, we talk shit all the time. You know, we're always sending each other memes and talking a bit of stuff. So thought it might be fun to step away from the wrestling interviews and things like that and just kind of talk about our fandom, not only of like wrestling things that we've been digesting, TV shows, movies, music, whatever we really feel like it, but just kind of like a regular catch up. So I think it should be pretty fun, man.
Yeah, sounds awesome. I've been looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Before we get too deep into talk about anything, why don't you – I've been meaning to get you on this show for ages. We've just known each other for quite a while now. Why don't you tell the people real quick about your sort of origin with wrestling? Because my tradition in Faces and Feels is to always, you know, talk about the first faces that got people into wrestling, the first wrestlers that stood out to them. Who was that for you?
Well, I've liked wrestling my whole life. My mom was real big into WCW mm-hmm. when I was young. She's a big Goldberg fan.
That's awesome.
I've always kind of been, you know, against, I'm always the person that goes against what everyone else likes.
Yeah.
So my mom likes Goldberg and I'm like, well, who's the opposite of Goldberg? First person that stands out to me is Vampiro. Can't get much more opposite than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That it goes, I guess.
Yeah.
So I will always say that he's probably my first real favorite wrestler,
which is a great answer, and I think the first time anybody's ever said Vampiro on this show as well.
Yeah, he always he has a special place in my heart always.
Yeah.
But yeah, we never watched WWF I didn't even know it existed until later on in life, to be honest with you. It was all WCW. I don't remember that much of it. I remember my mom just, everything my mom hated, that's my stuff right there.
Just rebelling straight away.
Oh, for sure. Like, even like the stuff like, my mom hated Three Count. So Three Count, love them. Just dumb stuff. Been WWE my whole life ever since I could, you know, remember watching it myself. But as far as deathmatch goes, I didn't really get into deathmatch until, man, it's probably, well, it was the whatever tournament of death that RSP wound up winning against Tremont.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
I had never even heard of like CZW or anything like that. I saw it pop up on my Facebook, like an advertisement for the show. And I wasn't doing anything that Saturday. It was like 2 days away. And I just hopped in my car, drove like an hour and a half to Townsend, Delaware. Loved it.
Did you have like friends be like, come to this thing, or you just saw it and you went, fuck it, I'm just gonna go look?
Yeah, no, I didn't really like know anyone at the time. I mean, on and off my whole life, I've not had a huge friend circle. So, you know, I'm usually checking stuff out by myself all the time. Now I have a good core group of friends that we travel a lot with. So,
sure.
That's cool. But back then, no, it was just me. I took my brother the next year. He loved it. He's not as big into it as I am, but he still goes to shows.
Yeah. That's cool. You mentioned the deathmatch stuff, obviously, because that's how we sort of met, you know, moving around sort of the deathmatch scene and similar fandom and things like that. And I found the same thing. I have friends that will come to the Dude Where's My Ring shows in Perth, and I absolutely love it. They come to every show. It's the best. They're not wrestling fans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're deathmatch fans, like, because they love going to the spectacle. I don't even know. I mean, maybe some of them I could convince them to, like if there was something on and I was streaming it and I want them to come over and make a day of it, I'm sure I could get them into it. But they're not the kind of people that are going to go out of their way to watch it in their own life. But if it's an event and it's on, they're coming. They're absolutely coming because it's awesome. And even last night we were at like this theater where they were doing this really cool series called Bareface Stories that they do in Perth. It's also a podcast as well where people will come in and they'll tell stories about their lives, you know, some harrowing moment, some, you know, funny story or whatever to a room of people. You know, there'll usually be sort of six storytellers and there's like an intermission and stuff. And so it was the first time we'd gone and my mate Marty was there with this girl and she's like, is he the one that like works with the wrestling thing? She's like, and he's like, yeah. She goes, I always see it like on his clips and stuff. I've got to come. It's the one with all the blood and stuff, right? I was like, yeah, that's us. You know, it stands out to people. It's something shocking and different.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I actually have a few friends that, like you said, they are not watching wrestling by themselves in their own home, but they will travel with me to shows. And I have a couple friends that like different things. And I'm lucky enough to live where it's only like 2 hours away from H2O, 2 hours away from Newark, about 3 hours away from Newark, New Jersey, where ICW runs up here a lot. I'm lucky to be able to travel to some cool things.
Yeah.
That's not too far away. But, you know, if I want to go to H2O for
a slipe,
something like the Intergender Bonanza, that's, you know, a little more on the fun side. So, things. I have a friend that's really big into that. If I want to go to a Brutal Deathmatch show, I have some friends that are really big into that. If I want to go to anything, you know?
Yeah. You've got all the options there.
I always have like one person that is at least like, I'm down to go.
Yeah, that's so cool.
That's cool.
You were telling your story, but I took a shot at you for falling asleep at H2O that time. As you were. So you were like, if I want to go to H2O, and I was like, for a sleep.
Yes. No, that was so funny. Everyone clowned on me a little bit for that because what show was that? That was for, I think it was for a tournament.
Yeah.
And I worked that whole day. So I had woke up at 5:30 in the morning, worked the whole day, got in my car, picked my friends up, drove all the way to H2O, about 2 hours away. The show starts at 8. Usually H2O shows are over about 10 o'clock. This one went until like midnight. Yeah. And it gets to like the main event. And I'm like, I'd been asleep for... Or awake, I'm sorry, for that long. And
yeah.
I remember Neil Diamond Cutter coming out, and I remember his music hitting. And then I just remember everyone staring at me and pointing at me. I'm like, what did I do? Oh, my God, I fell asleep.
Well, check this out. I know you're new to this podcast game, but watch this for a segue, right? So you want to talk about falling asleep at shows. Let's rewind all the way back to 2019. Actually, this Saturday just been was my wife and my five-year wedding anniversary, right? It was our 10 years being together, and she surprised me with a trip for our 10-year anniversary. I've told this story on the podcast before, but I'll try and make it more interesting for those people through this different lens. And so she surprised me with a trip to Vegas to go see the very first Double or Nothing. See what I'm doing here? We're getting there. To go see the first Double or Nothing, because at the time, huge New Japan fans, huge Young Bucks fans, huge Kenny Omega fans. They're starting this new company. It's all very exciting. They're doing StarCast. There's meet and greets. There's like all these panels. It's going to be really cool, right? And she manages to get these tickets, which is crazy. She did have to get them off like a StubHub kind of reseller. So even up until the moment we walked to that door, we didn't really know if we were going to get to go. But I've been there. Yeah, it was a bit stressful, but it's totally fine. So we were like, we're going to have a great time and see how it is. But that morning, we had flown in and we were there for a couple of days before Double or Nothing. And, you know, we're doing all the panels, but we come straight off a plane and then we're on a helicopter flight and we're drinking and we're doing stuff. And we essentially didn't have a Bucks and Hens nights because we essentially ended up eloping because we were like, if we're having a real good time, we just could get married, you know? And so we were doing all that and we were doing those things together and so tired, up all day, seeing all the sights, being in Vegas, doing it all, right? And so we get married that morning, then we're having drinks and lunch, didn't really have much to eat and we're just carrying on. And then we get to the venue early, the lines around the building. So we just like found a door, a bar, no joke, like right next to the door into Double or Nothing. The line goes all the way down, it goes down the side and blah, blah, blah. And we're like, why the fuck are we going to line up? We've got seats or we don't. But either way, we may as well just wait at this bar right here at the door. And then when there's no more line, we'll walk in. You know what I mean? What else are we going to fucking do? Right. Stand at the back. So we did that. And then everybody we're meeting, they're like, "What? Hey, you're from Australia. What are you doing here?" We're like, "We just got married." And they're like, "We're buying you drinks." And like everybody was so cool, right? But come, no joke, by the Young Bucks, you know, Penta Phoenix ladder match or whatever, both of us just asleep on each other's shoulder, like just in Double or Nothing. I remember waking up like as the match ended, being like completely missed that one, but nobody kicked us out. Nobody gave a shit. Like it was totally fine. We weren't on the floor, but the people around us were cool. Like it was all fine. And then we, watched the end of the thing, got out of there and then went to the after party, watched LA Guns Acoustic and drank cocktails and danced with Scorpio Sky and all the wrestlers and stuff at the after party. Awesome. So yeah, it was a very good time. And that is my official segue into us talking about Double or Nothing, because if we're going to talk about wrestling this week, that is the big thing that has happened. We were both watching it kind of at the same time. So I think it'd be cool to vibe on a little bit. How were you feeling about the show?
Yeah, no, I mean, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I liked it.
I wound up watching it by myself, so mm-hmm. when you're not watching it with like a party, I feel like sometimes for me that takes away from just the general vibe of things where you're not mm-hmm. freaking out with your friends going, oh my God.
Yeah.
But for what, you know, it was an awesome show.
Mm. I feel like it was pretty consistent, right? Like there was no real matches where I was like, oh, this sucks. Like I felt like it was pretty good.
That's a rare thing for me to say the same thing. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Usually like one or two matches don't do it for me, but this one was pretty consistent.
Yeah, yeah. I think there were, as it started to get towards the tail end of the show, me and my mate came over. I hadn't seen him in a while and, you know, we ordered some food and we're watching stuff, which was fun. And there were a couple of matches where we're like getting towards the end and we're like, wow, this has still got like an hour and a half to go and it's getting late. Yeah. Maybe we should be skipping forward, but there was nothing really skippable. Oh, we're like, oh, fuck. We're like, this is pretty good. We're going to keep going with this. You know what I mean? So we just ended up watching all of it and not really skipping much.
Yeah, see, I got lucky because it was Sunday and if I had to work the next day, I would have not have stayed up that late to watch that live. But
yeah,
Monday was Memorial Day here, so I didn't have to work. So that's
yeah,
cool.
yeah, exactly.
So I did stay up to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, that just reminds me, because we were watching something at the same time. We weren't watching Double or Nothing at the same time. We were watching Dynamite at the same time, because Double or Nothing happened Monday morning here. And so we were both at work. So we just had to go on media blackout, like not even look at anything social media. Then he came over like when he finished work at like 5:30, and then we watched it 5:30 through, you know, midnight, I guess. I don't know. It's a long pay-per-view.
Oh my God. Yeah, I know. I was going to start sending you the fake spoilers just to.
Yeah. No, you were threatening that. I'm like, don't, because then I'll fucking. If I think it's fake, then I'll know it's the opposite. You know what I mean? Exactly. What do you reckon? What were some highlights for you? What was your favorite match?
My favorite match it's got to go to Swerve and Christian.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really good.
I mean, I'm sitting here trying to think of the whole card right now off the top of my head, but I mean, man, there's so much good stuff. That, what is it?
Edge of Malakai was pretty cool as well.
Oh yeah, no, that was sick. But the trios tag match was really good. It took me a while to get behind the Guns with, you know, Jay White. The Guns didn't do it for me at first, and now I actually kind of love them. I think they're great.
They got a great entrance.
Yeah, ever since they did that one where they started that entrance and then they had the 50 Cent song playing.
I was literally about to say that, like that Many Men, exactly. That was like they had no business at that time going that hard, like in an entrance.
Exactly. Ever since then, I'm like, bro, why didn't they? I mean, I know there's more to it than just saying this is your song now, but man, that would be so cool if it was.
Yeah, I know. I wish it was. That would be such a fucking hardcore entrance. I mean, I guess like.
I was going to say their entrance now is cool with Jay White, but it takes a while in the beginning, and they have like that few, like maybe 30 seconds of just the screen going black. Yeah. And I'm like, who is coming out right now? And then it's them. And you're like, oh, it's them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why I feel that way.
I mean, they do have a few acts that like it'll all go black and then you got to wait for them to, you know, roll out.
Yeah. But it looks so edgy. And then you get Jay White and the Guns. And you're like, oh, when it looks like something that the, you know, House of Black would be doing, like,
yeah, yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, we'll run through the card a little bit, because I didn't watch these first two. I guess they were on the bide or whatever. I didn't see Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa, nor did I see like the Acclaim and the Gates of Agony.
Not gonna lie to you, I didn't either.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it's cool that they put those out and people can watch them and stuff for free, but I ain't got time. Like when you're already talking like a 4-hour show plus, like so much.
I usually do watch. I watch everything, but I don't know what I was doing that day that made me miss that. But I just wound up not getting it for some reason.
Mm. Ospreay and Roddy was real good.
Was sick.
Yeah, for exactly.
Sure. I forgot about that.
Fuck, how was that Taven botch as well? Like, he tried to do that, like, flying clothesline to the outside and just got caught up on those ropes and almost killed himself.
Well, at first, everyone was like, Ospreay must broke his neck. But I'm like, yo, Taven took a nasty bump. But then when they showed the replay again and I saw how Ospreay landed, I was like, oh, my God, how did he not get hurt? That was nasty.
Yeah, he's crazy. Eh? He's reinforced as fuck. His neck and everything like that. And then who was the? Yeah, that was really good. I like Roderick Strong a lot, especially this kind of thing. Yep. I thought for sure he was gonna bust out the Tiger Driver and like re-break his neck, you know, and head back into that neck strong scenario. But yeah, they did end up doing it.
And Roderick Strong, I feel like I've been watching that dude my entire life. Like,
yeah.
Old school TNA days, when they six out of ring days, I should say. Mm-hmm. Like, he's always been like someone who I feel like deserved more in his career.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I remember watching Ring of Honor stuff with him and things like that. I feel like he's still at like the best he's ever been, to be fair. Like, I think he's really good.
I agree. He looks like someone who's only been wrestling for a few years. He looks great.
Yeah.
Been wrestling forever. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not like well versed on Ring of Honor. So like when you talk about Ring of Honor and what he's done there, I know a little bit, but like, I don't know, like every title he's held. So he could have had a great run in Ring of Honor. I have no clue.
I think I don't either. I've just seen stuff, you know, like it was during a time when I didn't even know what independent wrestling was. But I know, I'm pretty sure he's held like every title that existed in Ring of Honor.
Okay.
You know,
and I feel bad because Ring of Honor was like right down the road for me. Mm-hmm. Mostly Baltimore. I mean,
yeah.
I know it's not only Baltimore, but it happened a lot in Baltimore, and I had no clue. Mm-hmm. So,
exactly. Well, I mean, it's like, it's when does this stuff hit your radar? You know what I mean? Unfortunately, sometimes it just hits too late.
Too late for me, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. What did you think about them putting this championship on Will Ospreay? Like, when so soon? But when me and my friend were talking about it, we're like, sometimes the best thing is to just do the thing that everybody wants to happen. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's okay to just be like, we've brought him in, he's the best wrestler, he wins. Like, I think that's kind of okay sometimes.
Yeah, I don't exactly know. I have mixed feelings about it because, like, there's that hand, but then the other hand, you have this faction that's supposed to be, like, the top of the game here. And
yeah,
you've already taken in a loss of a title.
Yeah. It's hard to build the Undisputed Kingdom as this super dangerous faction when they get beaten by essentially one dude on his own and their like leader is injured and out. You know what I mean? It doesn't make them seem very dangerous like at all. And also I think the Forza as well, like, so you put that title on Will, and then if we fast forward to Dynamite, Will then goes on to win that sort of Rumble gauntlet thing to then be challenging for the world title. And then it's kind of, to me, and I said it when we were talking about it, I was like, I'll talk to you about it when we talk tomorrow. I'm like, so I kind of feel like that sort of undercuts the match a little bit because he's probably not going to be double champion, right? So you're like, oh, well, so he's probably not going to win this. But also it's like Will's only just there. Maybe that's too soon. Like when my friend was like, I'm surprised that they'd put this on him and not maybe hit him to the thing. I'm like, well, they can do a slower build with him. They can have him doing this continental title thing, keep him away from the world title picture and then sort of get there eventually, you know? And I was like, oh, and I get it, selling tickets, things like that. But I feel like it's an ongoing debate I have where it's like short, suddenly pop the house now, sell the tickets now, not thinking about that longer term build, you know?
I think that's a big issue in AEW. Mm. I love AEW, don't get me wrong, but man, they just do things too fast sometimes.
Yeah.
And I feel like they have an issue with letting, they'll get a star from another company and push them to the moon, and somebody who they've been slowly building that everyone's finally getting behind is now
forgotten
again. And I could sit here and mention probably five, if I thought about it, people that deserved more than what they got just because someone else from another company.
That's like wrestling in the big companies, though, hey? Because, I mean, WWE have always done that as well.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it is a kind of shame when they, you know, drop somebody in for, like, a big pop and it's a new contract thing or whatever, but they don't really integrate them with ongoing sort of stuff, you know? I was happy to see we'll get away from the Ospreay stuff for a second, but I was happy to see that, like, after Willow lost to Mercedes, which I personally didn't think should happen.
Me neither, for sure.
Because, I mean, of all the reasons, and, you know, she's the homegrown girl and all that, I feel like that's cool. But I'm glad they didn't just go, oh, she just lost, and then she's, like, gone. Like, she lost, but then it's serving, like, a storyline now with Statlander and Stokely and all those kind of things. So I was like, well, that's good. At least they're, like, telling stories in the women division now, you know, between Toni Storm and now this. You know, they've actually got things happening.
Yeah, no, I think they could have done something different, though. I think they could have had maybe, I know this gets old, too, but a non-clean or something happened, you know, during that match to make it a no contest or something and just get Statlander maybe even involved in the title scene, have a triple threat, but keep Willow with the title for the time being. I feel like she deserved way longer of a run than what she got.
Yeah, and I feel like the crowd was, like, really behind her and really digging what she's doing, so. But, yeah, we'll see. I think sometimes I get a bit like, oh, they should have done this, but then there's a longer story playing out and all you can do is just sort of wait and see what they do. But my hope is that they'll, you know, back her in the long run. I feel like she is somebody really different to like a lot of the women wrestlers, and I feel like yeah, she's doing something pretty special.
Yeah, she's awesome. We have a little like local promotion around here, and for a while they were running a lot of like really great women talent. Mm-hmm. And she wrestled here frequently, and doesn't even air or anything, you know, it's just for the fans here. And
yeah,
meeting her a few times here was awesome. So I'll always back her. So
yeah, that's really cool. What did you think, knowing how the angle went off in the end, what did you think of the Cassidy Trent stuff? Because at the time I was kind of a bit bummed. I thought I was like, man, I wish somebody would just pull the trigger on Trent. You know what I mean? Because he's had like a few false starts and he's always in the tag stuff. And I was like, I think he's just got like this huge upside that nobody ever does. And then unfortunately, you know, Chuck has been injured. And so they do this match with Orange. And they, even as Orange was walking to the ring, it's like wins 50, losses 2. And I'm like, he can afford to take this loss and put Trent over here. But then that doesn't happen. And then, you know, Don Callis is like, after what I saw in that match, I know I'm going to be offering somebody a contract, you know, on Dynamite. And I'm straight away, I'm like, the person he'll be offering the contract to is Trent. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But because that's how wrestling works, right? And I think the angle played out really well, but I don't know. I still feel like they could have had that happen on the biggest stage. You know what I mean? And not have to wait at all, because I don't know if another Orange Cassidy win really mattered on the pay-per-view, you know?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. To me, it's just, it didn't, I hate to say it, but I don't care. Mm. I love Orange Cassidy. Mm-hmm. I love them all. But this one, this feud doesn't, it's not really having me on the edge of my seat or anything.
It's the hard part about an Orange Cassidy feud, right? Because of the character he is, when you have him in that like good guy sort of position, he is kind of, you know, he's Orange Cassidy, and so he's not really showing a lot of emotion, and the other guy's got to sort of carry it. I mean, he did do like the black t-shirt and the black glasses and stuff and a darker denim, so you're like, oh, it's getting serious now.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, it is a little bit tough. So you really got to like beat him down and things like that. But I think Trent has been working really hard, and putting him in the Don Callis family, I think, is actually a good thing. Like, I think there's an opportunity for him to stand out in that place, hopefully. And especially because Will will probably be out of it soon. You know what I mean? He's a huge face. He doesn't really belong there. And maybe
whole faction is strange to me. I mean, it's like a mixture of faces and heels almost. Like,
yeah. It started heely, and then they, you know. But yeah, whenever like Will has had anything to do with Don Callis, it's like, oh yeah, we're done, or it's just like this kind of thing. And it's like, but he's not a bad guy. Like, nobody fucking think like hates him, yet Don Callis will come out and get booed for 5 minutes like in the ring, like on his own, you know. So I think if you look at, if the sort of new look Don Callis family is like him and Takeshita and Trent and Hobbs when he comes back, like, I feel like that.
I forgot about him.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that is a bit more menacing. And then you take out like Kyle and Will because, you know, Davis has got to come back from injury and maybe just have them be United Empire or whatever.
Dude, Kyle Fletcher, I love that guy.
He's sick, eh?
Yeah, I didn't know much about him at first, and every single time I watched him, I'm like, that dude is great.
Yeah, he's putting on heaps of size now as well. Like, you're seeing him like actively level up now, you know, because he's a real young dude, and like now
it looks like he's like 12.
Yeah, but like his body size and everything like that. Like, I severely think like he's going to be like the next Ospreay. Like,
yeah, I could see that.
As he puts on the size and he gains age and maturity and all that, because he's just so talented. Mm. Absolutely. I don't really care about this, like, Chris Jericho, Hook, Shibata, Learning Tree situation that's happening at the moment. Not that I don't like all three of those guys. I do. I just, yeah, I don't know. It's not really hitting for me.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Do you have any thoughts on like Mox and Takeshita? Because I was a little bit concerned with this. So, you know, as a diehard New Japan fan, I didn't absolutely love like an outsider holding the title, but that's where we are. And Mox is signed to both. And I think that's okay. But I was a bit concerned when they started doing these eliminator matches because I'm like, what is this? Like, Mox is injured, his verse and this hot, you know, prospect that AEW have got in this eliminator. So is this just a, like all these excuses to give Takeshita a win over the IWGP champion, but then not have him actually win the title? But they can be like, oh, he beat the champion of this other company, you know? And that put a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth. But by the end, I kind of liked it because Mox is so injured. You just get to see all Takeshita's sick offense as he just beats the fuck out of him to the end. But then, you know, Mox gets it done. He hits the fucking Death Rider and fucking lays him out. And, you know, the champ stands tall. And I was like, I actually didn't hate it in the end because I thought for sure they would have taken that opportunity to be like, look at the fucking next champ kind of deal, you know?
Yeah. I hate to say it, but I'm not Mox's biggest fan. No, and it has nothing to do with anything. Totally just overexposure, I guess it is. Like in AEW, he just not really even overexposure. It's just like when you know he's in the ring, you know he's gonna win. Uh-huh. It's that match was probably the closest that I've ever come to going like, holy shit, he might actually not win this one.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've said that about a Mox match in a while.
Yeah.
Don't hate him. Don't get me wrong. But when he's in the ring, I honestly went and got a drink and stuff while that match was on at the beginning anyway, because I was like, well, Mox is going to win this.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. No, I could see where you're going. I only thought it was I think I was a little bit more interested just because I was looking at that other way, just because I'm like, why is he carrying all these injuries? Like, why is he, you know, having eliminator matches and not real title matches, which as a concept, I don't love for a face champion anyway. You know what I mean? Because I feel like Mox is the kind of character that they'd be like, and you have an eliminated match, you'd be like, fuck that, I'm the champ, I'm putting the title on the line. Like, I feel he's that kind of character. So non-title matches don't make sense for me with him. And then if you're going to have Takeshita lose, then fucking why not just have the match? Like, I'm sure it's New Japan not wanting them to have title matches or whatever, but I'm like, just fucking do the match and have him lose, it's fine. You know, it's just another defense on Mox's record. Like, you know, that's fine.
I'm not. I also, I got a close friend that's really big into New Japan to me. Uh-huh. I don't know much about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot of their talent.
Uh-huh.
But is that a stupid question? Is that where Takeshita came from? He came from New Japan?
No, he came from DDT.
Okay. Well, either or. I'm still not familiar with them that much either, but I didn't know him when he came over to AEW, but that is probably like the fastest someone has risen my personal ranks of favorites.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's a great wrestler, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every single match that I see that dude in, I'm like, that was just an absolute banger.
Yeah, he's so good, and that's what I mean. I kind of liked it because it was just like the Takeshita show as he just fucking suplexed Moxley around the ring and made himself like, even though he lost, he just looked like an absolute beast, you know? And I think that's fine. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't hate it or anything like that. It's just maybe not how I would have booked it, but hey.
I understand that vibe though. And it's hard not to have that vibe sometimes with like the guys that are, like you say, overexposed and win a lot because you're like, there's nothing to really see here. That it doesn't feel like there's any stakes, you know? And then in which case it's another 30 minutes on a 5-hour card and you're like, whatever, like, you know?
Yeah.
Sure. All right. So, and then, the Adam Copeland, Malakai Black, cage match thing. I was into this. I enjoyed the like Slayer intro and the Brood thing. Yeah. And, you know, obviously Copeland had been sort of talking about wanting to bring back Gangrel into WrestleMania. So he brought him back here and they did all the spots and stuff like that. I really enjoyed it. I really wish he hadn't climbed that cage. I feel like that was absolutely unnecessary, and considering the way he just like jumped onto his own legs and not really a splash and injured himself is a real shame.
When I first saw it, I thought he foot stomped him.
Yeah, right.
I wasn't really paying attention. I was kind of looking at my phone at the time and also watching. And when I saw the fall and he came down straight and the table broke, I was like, did he just foot stomp him from the top? And then the replay hit and I was like, nah, he just kind of foot stomped his own bone into the other bone.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what happened.
Like, I think he was going for a splash, but it kind of looked like he didn't really sort of all the way commit to it. Even though his body went through the table and did break it, his feet sort of hit at the same time. So, yeah, it's amazing that he was sort of able to finish. I'm sure he was far from comfortable.
Oh, yeah. No, it looked – yeah.
The moment he landed, we're like, that ain't great. But luckily that was sort of like – once it hit that point, that was sort of the beginning of all like the shenanigans at the end. You know what I mean? He's sort of selling and, you know, guys are breaking in the cage and Gangrel's coming out and like all he had to do, I guess, was really sort of hit a spear after that, right? Like I think –
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, if you're going to break it at any point, it's probably the best place to do it. Which, to be fair, is probably why they planned it that way. They're like, in case anything fucking goes wrong after this big spot, then all the craziness happens and, you know, we get out sort of thing.
Like I mentioned to you when we were talking about it earlier, when Buddy and Brody, for that split second, walk over and stand next to Edge. For a second, I thought, you know, of course, that's how they want you. They want you to think that it's legit. And I was like, I love that.
Yeah, like
that would have been so sick.
A new Brood with like fucking Copeland, Brody and Buddy. That would be sick.
Yeah, dude. And then Brody hits that disgusting lariat.
Yeah,
I mean,
the second
would kill me
when they did that. The first thing that flashed to my mind was like, imagine the entrance of them coming up like the Brood through the fire, but it's those three instead. Like, how fucking intimidating is that?
Little Brood music hits and then God's Hate starts playing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It'd be fucking awesome. I was actually thinking that maybe because Malakai's whole thing was like, if you lose, you've got to like bend your knee to the house or whatever. I was really thinking he was going to win and we were going to see like fucking Copeland have to join the House of Black for a while. You know what I mean? And then you sort of see him eventually take it over, like by becoming more evil and, you know, that old, you know, ultimate opportunist kind of creepy guy he used to be.
Would have been cool too.
Yeah, it would have been cool. But yeah, so I think he's going to, he fractured his tibia or something like that. And apparently that can take anywhere from 3 to 6 months, I think, like depending on what it is and how it's happened and stuff like that. So he's going to be out. They stripped him of the title and I guess they're doing like a tournament or whatever for it now, which is a shame.
Yeah, for sure. I love Edge, so.
Yeah, exactly. It's no good. But, I mean, his contract ain't going nowhere. His popularity ain't going nowhere. You know what I mean? Have a little break and get back on his feet and he'll come back and it'll be fucking awesome. So,
I'd like to see him come back and do something with Christian.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they can feud forever. Their first one when he came back was really good. So you could absolutely do something again.
Even if he comes back and Christian's not doing this whole
patriarchy
thing that he's doing now, I'd love to see him have a little tag run. That'd be sick.
Yeah. I mean, there's every chance in the world they could do that angle now. Because what this does is it just puts a reset on Copeland. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, that's the end of the story. He defeated the House of Black. He had the title stripped. And then he can kind of do anything when he comes back. You don't really need to continue anything. You can just do a hard reset. So you can do whatever other story leads into.
Christian obviously isn't slowing down.
Nah. He still does crazy shit as well.
So you're just putting on better matches than some of the young guys on the card.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, that's the next one to talk about. So Swerve and Christian, when Christian came out as like his first like real challenger, I was like, let's go. This is great. Like a great choice, a dream match in a lot of ways. And plus you get all the extra benefits of like, you know, the patriarchy, all his kids and everything like that, which is always fun. And I think they're doing a real good job like sort of like – turning Swerve face, like, as the champion, which is really good. I think, you know, they can continue to lean into that, you know what I mean? Not too fast, but, you know, as they do, I think he's a real hard guy to not like, you know?
They had no choice when he was doing, you know, the stuff with Hangman, and people were just cheering him over everyone else, over Hangman, over Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
And they had no choice to turn him into a face.
Yeah.
And it works. He can do anything.
Absolutely. And it's like the first African-American champion, and being who he is, like, in the world, how he's always, like, hanging out and at events and with hip-hop artists, and, like, that's just who he is as a dude. He's a great
Nana
person.
Nana's great with him, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Nana can work both angles also. He's super likable, and everyone's doing this dance.
Like, the dance but is viral. Yeah,
he can also play the heel and be unlikable. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then separating him from the Gates and all that, who were just, you know, his heel heaters getting that away. Like, that's all you need. It's just him and Nana, like,
Logan. Yeah, I forgot about those dudes anyway.
Exactly. It wasn't super consistent regardless. But it was good seeing the return of Nana. Like, when Christian's trying to escape, he jacks that guy's car and he's got to pull out, and then Nana cuts him off and he's just, like, drinking a cup in his car. Like, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I super liked it, and I like, you know, Swerve's moveset, his finisher, like, everything about him.
Dude,
so,
when he countered that spear with that kick that he does, I can't remember what the kick is called.
It's called I messaged it to you just the other day. It's called the something house. It is called House Call. That's it. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. Well, that's what it sounded like they said on the last broadcast. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they call it the House Call. Yeah.
Okay. No, it's an awesome move, and he does it, like, spot on every time.
Yeah.
That's, like, a move that I feel like a lot of people wouldn't visually miss a lot, you know, and you see it and you're like, that didn't even connect. You know, sometimes you see that all the time. But he nails
always that looks
thing.
Great. And he can do it on anybody at any size, which is what I like about finishers. I like ones that can be put on anybody, you know? And so if he's versed like some fucking huge dude, he can get him on a knee and he can still hit it, or he can hit people on the run, or he can, you know, it's just great because you can pop it out of nowhere and end the match just like that, you know?
Like it a lot better than the stomp.
I was saying the same thing.
I just never.
Yeah.
I've never been a big fan of moves where the person has to, like, the person taking the move has to get into position and, like, awkwardly sit up. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You just got to sit up and take it.
Yeah.
I know it's wrestling, but it looks very strange.
I'm the same. I like things that can happen fluidly, you know, like, I think that's much better, like, as a mechanic in the match, because, like, with that house call thing, you can literally, like, the guy could be coming off the ropes doing something else, and then Swerve could just end the match. Like, at any time, you know, and that's...
Love that.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's like things like the RKO, like the pop-up powerbomb, like those kind of, like, sort of, like, quick moves that can just end it, I think are really, really good. But, yeah, and then after that was the, what's it called, Anarchy in the Arena match. What did you think about this one? Like, the other one, like, the last Anarchy in the Arena, I think was a bit better. I enjoyed the soundtrack the first time, like with the Wild Thing, until Jericho turns off the CD player, which was pretty good. This one, they went through a few songs. Everybody was loving the final countdown and was real mad when it was cut off. But I think this was really the Jack Perry show by the end, wasn't it? Like the scapegoat bus, the fucking fire, like all that kind of stuff was really kind of all about getting the scapegoat over.
Yeah, it was super entertaining, but like you said, it wasn't. I think I liked last year's or even the ones before it a little bit better. Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't really tell you much about what, like, FTR did. I can only really remember one sort of Okada moment, you know, the Rainmaker sort of with the thumbtacks on. Like, it really was, more about sort of when's Darby going to get a flamethrower and when's fucking Scapegoat going to do something.
Like, and when's Darby going to, like,
die?
Take 5 years off of his career.
Exactly. But I love the addition of the scapegoat bus. I thought that was really fun. And I enjoyed them rocking up to Dynamite and they just like roll in like fucking Autobots, roll out and they pull it in like fucking Escalades or whatever, but the scapegoat bus is just fucking behind it. Like he just drives to the arena, and that absolutely reminded me of like, you know, rock and roll wrestling when each of them had a car that was sort of like relevant to them. It's like action figures. It's like G.I. Joe and shit. I love that you could get like a fucking Jack Perry action figure and it comes with the bus. You know, like,
yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah,
like I think that's sick, right?
It was fun. Mm-hmm. It was a real fun watch. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it wasn't my favorite one of those, but I get those in the, and it's dumb, but I get those in the Blood and Guts matches in my mind mixed up sometimes. And I'm like, uh-huh. I like the last one better. And then I'm like, oh no, I'm thinking of Blood and Guts match. So
yeah. When I heard it was Anarchy in the Arena, I was thinking it was Stadium Stampede. I was like, oh, we're just doing this here. And I was like, oh, wait, this is not what this is. This is like just.
And when I said I like the first one more, that was Stadium. I'm thinking of Stadium Stampede. So you're right. It is.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, exactly. The one where it's like pre-filmed and there's all the ridiculous stuff and things like that.
I loved that. I thought it was hilarious mm-hmm. in the best way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
On the horse in the back.
Yeah, exactly. I like that stuff. You know, it's tough though because they can't like overdo it, right? There's only so much you can do. And that
I love comedy wrestling. I love every kind of wrestling. I have no hate towards any one specific thing.
Yeah,
it's done right. It's done right. It's done wrong. It's done wrong. It doesn't matter what it is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I think what we should do now is. Like, just have a think about some of the things that we want to chat about when we next talk, because I think we can use this as an opportunity to do almost like a bit of a book club kind of thing. Like, we'll go away and then we can, you know, we won't have another big Double or Nothing to talk about or whatever. So maybe we'll could chat about a match that we dig, what we always chat about music, do a bit of a recommendation of stuff we're listening to, what shows we're watching, things like that.
I'm looking forward to watching more of, mm-hmm. I don't know if you call it, any of NXT, mm-hmm. but it looks like they're going to start doing a WWE TNA
crossover. Oh, did I see Jordan Grace was on NXT?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm seeing reports on Twitter and stuff. You know, you can uh-huh. take that with a grain of salt, but that's saying that WWE is going to start, or NXT is going to start sending some talent over to TNA, and they're going to start doing.
Interesting. That's really cool.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Absolutely.
I don't watch WWE and NXT that much, but if they're doing something that interesting, I'll start tuning in and checking it out. Mm.
Yeah.
And also, Ethan Page showed up on NXT.
Yeah. I did see that. That's cool too, because I think he has a lot of upside. And for a while, him and Scorpio Sky were doing stuff together against Darby, and I really enjoyed that. And then he was just sort of gone. They kind of had that.
Yeah.
I think he got derailed by all that like MMA Page Van Zandt, that annoying top team coach guy.
My friends were just saying the same exact thing.
Yeah. It's just like, we were all friends with these MMA people and it was grinding and it just sort of fucking killed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When AEW first started up, I was like, oh, this is perfect for me. I'm never watching WWE again. I was like that type of person.
Yeah.
But even back then I was like, you know, there's two people here right now that I can honestly say would do so much better in WWE, even though I didn't like WWE at the time that much.
Yeah.
Was Ethan Page and Ricky Starr. Cause I was like, both of these dudes belong over in the WWE. I just feel like they'd fit in so well over there. And now they've got one of them. So
yeah. What's Ricky Starks doing actually? I haven't seen him in ages.
I've heard reports that he's also going over there.
Really?
So
that would explain why he dropped out, which is a shame because I really like him. Like,
me too.
Like in AEW. But yeah, I mean, whatever works for him, I guess.
He will do great wherever he goes because he's phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. Like, I think he would do. I just, you know, you kind of
work. I'm looking forward to seeing where.
Oh, sorry.
I'm just saying, I'm looking forward to seeing where this story goes for NXT. So next time we talk, we'll probably see at least another week's worth of what they have planned. Yeah, I don't know. I used to watch a whole bunch of shows, and now I don't get a chance to watch much anymore as far as like indies and stuff
goes. Yeah, I need to sort of pick it up again. I sort of fell out for a bit and was busy and have had like a whole bunch of stuff happen and stuff like that, and my work schedule changed. But I'm the same. I'm trying to sort of recommit and look for stuff and start to feel a bit more excited about it again. You know, watch WrestleMania, really enjoyed that. I don't think I can watch WWE regularly. Like, I just don't have the time to be watching like every show they do, but I can jump back into some pay-per-views and stuff. One thing that we could do, because we'll talk about it again, and if we can find it, I'd have to have a look. I used to have it, but we could rewatch Lucha Underground as well. Could be a fun thing to do. I see your eyes lighten up because I know that's one of your favorites. We could do like retro reviews on Lucha Underground as well.
Streaming on something, and me and a friend found it, and I cannot remember what it is. It's one of those like obscure streaming services, like Tubi or something like that.
Really?
You know, one of them.
I'm going to have a quick look on this Just Watch app because that normally tells me where things are streaming. Whether it would tell me that. Lucha Underground. Yep. Okay. Here we go. Lucha Underground. Not available at the moment for you. But that's just me in Australia. That doesn't mean I can't find it.
Yeah.
I don't think I watched like the last season either.
I don't think so. I don't think I did either, to be honest with you. Because I know like there was a certain point where Paul London and stuff was there. And I don't remember seeing
I remember Paul London being in there. He's kind of like this Rabbit King character.
Wasn't he with Karrion Kross over there? Weren't they like a faction?
Yeah, it was kind of tied in together and shit. But I loved all the shit with like fucking, yeah, like, which is Mil Mertes and fucking, you know, all that kind of stuff.
It's so funny. Like half of those dudes are like in WWE now.
Yeah, I know, right? It did a lot for a lot of people. And it's a real shame that they've, it's really high rated on this app too. 8.9 on IMDb, Lucha Underground.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It had a little bit of everything.
Yeah. It was like we were saying the other day, it was like wrestling Power Rangers, like beats telenovela. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I remember like seeing like the first time they like killed someone in like a cutscene. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, exactly. It's a real shame. And I'm really surprised nobody else has sort of borrowed that idea and tried to do it again, you know? But yeah, that would be cool. We'll look into it and see if we can find it. If anybody knows where we can find it, like online or anything like that, or where it's streaming and stuff, let us know. I can get a VPN. I can be in America visually and figure out how to watch it, but I'd love to see
it. I have a VPN. I don't know how to work it, but I have one.
Yeah. I used to have a sponsor, a VPN sponsor for a time. That ran out eventually.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That ran out eventually. Could be fucked with it. All right, then. Well, there we go. That's our first Anything Goes, just chatting about everything that is everything. So hope everybody's enjoyed that. Alex, I want to thank you for your time, man. It's been good to sit here with you face-to-face. We obviously talk weekly, you know, almost daily sometimes, but we're very rarely in the same e-space. So enjoy that.
Yeah, this was awesome. I had a great time.
Yeah, it's good to chat out the AEW stuff for a change, you know. I don't really talk about it over on the Ichiban Sweetcast, which is the New Japan show that I do with my friend Curtis Spears. He doesn't vibe on AEW at all, so there's not an outlet for it there. And when I'm doing Faces and Feels, I'm normally, you know, doing interviews and stuff. I'm not really talking about stuff I enjoyed. So this is like a cool segment or show we can do where we can just talk about whatever the fuck we want. If anybody's got any show recommendations for us, music, movies, all that kind of stuff, he did music with it.
Especially, I'm always looking for new music.
Yeah, we like a lot of stuff. We're both into same kind of heavier stuff, metal and hardcore. We like comedy bands and stuff. Like we were vibing on the Wolves of Glendale and the Cooties and things like that. Ninja Sex Party and stuff. We kind of like everything, really. Like fucking there's nothing
that
I'm
your callboy right now.
Oh yeah, you're big into that.
I can't stop listening to them. Yeah, I can't. Exactly. It's so fun.
I even got you into like I do listen to that Australian band slowly for a while and things like that. Yeah. So like there's nothing you can recommend us that we're probably not going to be into. Unless it's like EDM and shit. I don't really care about dance stuff.
Listen to it.
I need hooks and stuff. Like, you know, I need riffs.
Yeah. I might not have the best review for you, but I'll listen to it.
Exactly. I enjoy hip hop and stuff. So yeah, we'll just see what comes out. This is called Anything Goes for a reason because it's just us hanging out and talking shit. And yeah, it just gives me an opportunity to do something on the channel that isn't just, you know, interviews and stuff. So I think it's going to be fun, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Tell the people where to find you online if they want to follow you.
Well, I'm Legalized Ranch with two H's on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You can find me on Facebook, just my name, Alex Castillo. I'm not on there a whole lot. And Vinyls and Violence on Instagram is where I usually hang out and post the most and talk the most. So that's a fun page for me. If you could follow it, that'd be awesome.
Absolutely. Do you still have some shirts up and things like that on the
Vinyls? Yeah, they're on the Deathmatch Worldwide site. I don't have anything new recently. Uh-huh. I'm working on it. Me and I've got a friend working on something. It's slow, but it's coming.
Cool. Exactly right. And that is, if you're not familiar with Vinyls and Violence, check it out. But that's Alex's like fan page of everything deathmatch and music and sort of blending that together into merch and just, you know, images for wrestlers and things like that. So yeah, it's gonna be really fun. Thanks everybody for checking this out. It has been a fun day. We're going to sign off. I need to go to work. I need to get my head straight. I need to do all that. So yeah, rate and subscribe, listen or die. Keep it right. Keep it tight. Fucking, what do I normally say? Remember, it's all about peace, love, and pro wrestling. Peace. Thanks for listening. Faces and Feels is a proud member of the Count Out Podcasting Network. It is created and hosted by me, Rafe Houston, edited by myself and the amazing Ryan Neitzy, and the show is available on all good podcast platforms, so please go rate and subscribe. You can follow the show everywhere on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. at Faces Feels Cast, and you can check out the Count Out Network and all our sister shows over there at Count Out Pod. If you'd like to book me for commentary, have an interview request, a topic suggestion, or you just want to say hi, you can email us at facesandfeels@gmail.com. With all that said, thanks for listening, and please support our friends and sponsors. Peace.
My body is a roadmap of pain.
DeathmatchWorldwide.com, the official online merchandise store that is only for Deathmatch Wrestling. Featuring official t-shirts from No Peace Underground, John Wayne Murdoch, Akira, Madman Pondo, Zona 23, Neil Diamond Cutter, G Raver, Schlack, Necro Butcher, and many more. If you are a deathmatch wrestler, promotion, manager, or platform, and are interested in joining the web store, send us an email to deathmatchworldwide@yahoo.com. Deathmatchworldwide.com for the violent view.
This has been a Count Out Podcast. CountOut provides a wide variety of bonus content that is right at your fingertips. On the CountOut Patreon, our podcasts are creating bonus content exclusively for you, their listener. For only $5 a month, you can watch instant reactions to major shows, watch-alongs, early access to main feed podcasts, some fun goof and gag audio, plus shows from some of the podcasters' outside interests. It's the best way to experience all that the CountOut Network has to offer. So head on down to patreon.com/countout to take part in some of the best and most fun content wrestling has to offer. Again, that is patreon.com/countout.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!